Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The day after, picking up the pieces, and we've got a lot of pieces to pick up, so we bring in our guy. Man, I'll tell you what, first time we had him on Tops, I turned to my colleagues, obviously, you know everybody on the show, Adam and, of course, Amy and Fletch. I said, this guy is, wow, this guy is tremendous. Gene Steratore is with us, and he did a great job with Tony and Jim in the booth yesterday, and he's here to break down a couple of things on Tiki and Tiri. Gene, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing? Have not come down from the energy of Arrowhead last night, I can tell you that, man.
It was amazing. Listen, we're going to get to specific stuff, but I know that you're aware of the Rule 17, Section 2, Article 1 piece that basically states the commissioner has sole authority to investigate and take appropriate action, disciplinary or corrective measures, blah, blah, blah. I know it wouldn't apply to a missed call, pass interference, or something like that, but I guess my question is, that rule is there for a reason. What would it be used for?
Well, you know, as well as you just recited that, BT, that scares me a little bit. It is in there for the exceptional situation. There was an incident that occurred in Cleveland years ago with the bottles, things
yes.
like that, where something was suspended and elevated to that level. I would assume that it falls under those types of categories, not anything that would be judgment related or something like that. So, you know, up to a higher level,
I would believe in something. Yeah, you know, we talk about this missed call that happened in the Saints game, Gene, and I think back to 2012 when the overtime rules were changed. And I'm sure there was a competition committee conversation and all types of other discussions about whether it be good or not. Now I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversations about whether or not penalties like this or non-penalties like this should be reviewable. My question for you, do they consult with you all as referees about what would be good, what would be bad, how would it look, how would you – do they consult with you guys when they think about rules changes?
You know, collectively as a body, they do not, but we do have representation at the competition committee meeting. So naturally, the supervisor of officials, who's Al Riveron at this point, would attend that. He would bring with him a delegation maybe of a supervisor or two that would work underneath him from the office, and also one or two officials that he may choose for that for those meetings, BT. So there is some consultation within the officiating department and the other members of that committee during that period of time, so that they can kind of get the view from our angle as well, and I think it's a good practice, because you know, as we all know how the helmet situation started this year, and we talked about that a lot in the beginnings. You know, the part of that the officials, in my opinion, would weigh in on during that is, listen, can we officiate that? You know, right? So the coaches can speak to, can we coach that different? And Tiki could relate to what the players would think. Can we adjust the way we play in that? And then the officials would weigh in on something as far as what they feel they can do consistently and get it to a level that they can apply it that way, too. So, yeah, there is some input from the officiating department through those meetings.
Yeah, now, Gene, we've seen the expansion of replay over the years. Do you think that they should expand it even more to include penalties like this?
You know, it's from the day, and I am dating myself. I didn't come in right when it started.
Yeah.
But, you know, the book was only 8 or 9 pages big when I started, and now, you know, it's up there. It's into the 30s and 40s, so it will continue to grow. I do believe it will. And a lot of the additions to the replay manual are as a result of certain types of plays. So then the challenge always, and this goes with all rules, replay much more significant because it's newer and we're watching them happen for the first times. But, you know, anytime you change a rule in that book, either the regular rule book or the replay book, there are so many different avenues where it affects something else. And then you have another addendum to this portion of this play or this rule. And so, yes, I think it will continue to grow. I know they're trying to keep a lid on that, and I'm an advocate of that. I have to tell you guys, you know, I am an advocate of that, and only in the sense that I think the more we continue to expand this, the more micromanaging we do on certain things, and also the pace of the game becomes an issue. And none of us want to see all the continuing stoppages, you know, while we all dissect this stuff frame by frame by frame.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It is. I mean, it's
sure it is.
You know, it's yes. If, I was going to say, yeah, you want to get it
right, though, right?
I hear you. You want to get it right, but I know where Gene's coming from. I mean, I'm sitting on the couch last. I'm saying, come on, man. I mean, every couple of plays here, and I'm not, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's just the crazy dynamic of the game. The Edelman play, did it touch his thumb? Did it not? Who the hell knows? I mean, it takes 13 minutes to sort through this crazy stuff.
Hey, listen, and I looked at that thing about, you know, for my good healthy minute and 45 seconds yesterday as well, and many angles, because we had so many great camera shots yesterday. And so, yeah, it does happen. You know, but then there's this element, guys, and this is kind of where I live in it. I'll give you a really good example that'll fit, and not because of the play that happened yesterday. Let's isolate this play for 1 second. It's a mistake, right? It's an egregious mistake that we know will go down, unfortunately, in the annals of sports history as a mistake that had serious potential consequence to it. We don't know what would happen. We all believe that, yes, if it's called, Sean takes a knee, the Saints take a knee, they kick the field goal, they leave, they go to the Super Bowl. And that's a realistic assumption, is that how that game would have ended. And in the annals of sports, there are those plays that have happened through officiating and ground balls to first base, or plays, things like that, where a human element came in on what we all believe is a rather, I don't ever like to say routine. It's not as routine if you really watch this play in real time. And I'm not defending the play. It's a miss. So I don't want to, we don't go down that path as officials. We stand up for what we miss.
Yeah.
And it's a mistake, right? But it's these unfortunate situations that occur that are burned in, you know, to our memory for the course of time. And unfortunately, for the teams, the coaches who devote their lives to this, to the officials who do the same amount of work, trust me, it's a very, you know, it's a tough, tough day. And this will be something that you hope you get through it. But it's forever etched in our minds and in the history of the game. That's what it is.
You know what makes this really tough? And we're talking to Gene Steratore, of course, CBS Sports rules analyst, former official to college basketball back in the day with the Big East at its heyday. A lot of people don't know that. Gene and I have talked about that during a few commercial breaks, though, the old Big East days, right, Gene?
Little exactly. Hoops. A little more physical almost than the AFC Championship.
Yeah, right. I hear you. A little different. But I think that, you know, getting to know you this year on Tops on CBS Sports Network every Sunday, right? The thing that I took away is, because at the end of the day, yeah, of course I'm a sportscaster, but before I was a sportscaster, I was a fan. And you get this emotion that pumps through your body, and somebody makes a blatantly bad call. You almost dehumanize the person and forget that they didn't walk into that stadium or that venue with the intention of ruining somebody's legacy or missing a call, okay? Now, but what I want to hear from you, Gene, because I think you do a great job explaining this, the protocol, the people involved in the miss, the egregious miss last night at the end of the play with the non-pass interference, what happens that night to them? What happens today? And how are they, like, what happens to them? What happens?
You know, as far as a professional punitive situation, I don't want to venture down what would happen. I would hope that not one mistake, even though so huge, constitutes the body of work. I know that official, that was the primary official, and I emphasize that word, guys. He was the primary official covering that play.
You're talking about the side judge, right, Gene?
Yes, Tiki. He came in the league with me 16 or 17 years ago.
And Gary Cavallo.
Wonderful. Yeah, and he's a great official. And I would take him on my crew every year. I mean, that's I mean that sincerely. You know, but we have our progressions as officials, and we talk about having a man when the snap starts. There's five officials covering receivers. We go from a man to potential based on how the routing occurs or where those receivers initially start and where they end up, to a zone type coverage. And then once the football's in the air, especially if it's a longer play and we're not squeezed in the red zone or quick pass, we go to the ball.
Yeah.
So when you have a football like that in the air, you know, I would, there are more than one official, I would think, transferring to that place.
Yeah.
For angles reason, for other things. I can speak to it professionally and tell you where he is and how that play is coming at him in real time and how he gets squeezed. Where is that football as it's coming zooming past him as hard as it's coming, and that contact, which happens rather quickly if you really watch this thing in real time, and knowing that what we even watch on the line feed of our normal program is not nearly as fast. And Tiki, I know you can definitely understand that it even exponentially increases the closer you get to that field.
You're right.
So all of those things occurring. You know, or is there another one or two officials that have made that progression now to where that ball is in relation to when the contact occurred? Is the ball past him, just past him, in front of him, way in front of him? Is it helmet contact?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other elements playing there, and there are more than two eyes on that at the end. So there is a collaborative effort that you want somebody on that play to – and hey, look. Sometimes it takes that 1 or 2 seconds to digest and slow it down. That's an axiom for officials. When you think you're going slow, go slower.
Yeah.
Because this thing's quick. That's what's always said on the field. So, you know, again, we will all point to the guy on the play naturally as the closest person.
Yep.
But there's a team effort there, and it's a miss by that unit or that collective group at some point there as they covered that play. So what happens to him be up? Again, and going back to what you just alluded to, the dehumanization of people.
Yeah.
Look, last year I had the luxury and pleasure to work the Super Bowl. I promise you guys that at some point from the time you get that call until that thing ends, you don't dwell on it, but you also know, and Tiki's played at a high level too, you guys know when you get to this stage, you do understand the magnitude that, you know, if I miss a roughing the quarterback tomorrow, or I blow my whistle inadvertently and there's a football on the ground and someone picks it up,
yeah,
it's not just myself that's going to live with that. You know, this is my family that's going to live with that. We watch the classics on TV.
Yeah.
It could be grandchildren that the good Lord maybe hasn't blessed my family with
that
are going to live with that. So we all understand that. That's the You know, I mean, that's the blessing of being on this stage, but with all great blessings come great responsibility.
No.
So in the humanization of this, that's where I go for some point right now.
Yeah.
And I've lived through my share of controversy, and I've watched my family deal with it.
Yeah, no,
in their own ways.
Yeah, it's rough. Look, Gene, it wasn't an easy call. It was a bunch. Look, I can't even blame the back.
That one was pretty easy.
Not really, because
the
back judge, who also has a responsibility here, Pro Cup, is dealing with a bunch look that's coming directly at him. So his eyes go there. The line, the down judge, who is Patrick Turner, he's looking at the line of scrimmage to make sure everything is right. A running back,
so
not a wide
receiver.
Use
the word egregious.
A running back goes, because the miss was so bad. The running back, who is a wide receiver, goes flying past him. He keeps him till 7 yards, and then he's supposed to turn it over.
Uh-huh.
But Cavalletti, who we were just talking about, he's looking interiorly, and then the ball's coming at him at fast speed. It's not an easy play. The question, we only have a couple seconds here, Gene. Do you think it was wrong of Al Riveron to get in contact with Sean Payton so quickly and apologize?
You know, I don't like to offer an opinion. I think I don't know who initiated the conversation or the call. I will say this about Al, and I refereed in the Big East with Al Riveron and then through his NFL career as well. He's that type of individual. He's a stand-up person. So if that phone call was made, which at times may happen as quickly as what it appeared to, listen, at some point, when it's a miss, right?
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do in that situation is try to sell somebody something that's not sellable either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when you have these, again, guys, we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
But you have to stand up. You have to take what is involved in this, and hopefully we all, you know, learn from something on this and get better, and don't go down the road of thinking, we have to be perfect on all of these. I know it's huge and it's big, and it is, and the magnitude of the miss is great. But just think for a minute, if we take judgment plays and we all start looking and allowing everything to be challengeable, where does that go?
Yeah.
You know, at what point are those bang-bang plays that we don't call defensive pass interference in real time? And if you watch those frame by frame, he gets there 3 frames before the ball gets there. You don't want that called, guys. If we start calling things as technical as the television set can show us, this game will be inundated with 60 fouls a game.
Yeah.
And you'll see things that look, the rules are the rules. Great officials, they know how to apply the rules. Okay? So there's an officiating acumen in this science of black and white that turns into an art form that makes officials great. That is the difference. Is how to apply it, when, and how big is it, and when does it occur? And I know we've got to go, but understand this from our level. And Tiki, I know you can relate to this. Look, a defensive holding that's missed on a 3rd and 4 play when you're at your own 10,
yeah,
that isn't called, it's now a punt, and the next series starts at the 50. And if it's called, we may get 1 first down, but punt from our own 50, mm-hmm. or from the 50 to your 5.
Yeah.
That changes this football game from the moment that happens throughout the remainder of the game.
Yeah,
that is the magnitude of every play and every 5 seconds of life, which is an NFL play, and the magnitude of each consequence to that play. That's a fact.
Yeah.
These all jump out to us, naturally, for the right reasons. But trust me, that's the level of importance when you live in this world from an officiating lens, I can speak to personally, right? And that's what you have to understand. And
we got
hope
you.
That these don't happen, right?
Listen, hey, you're phenomenal. I mean, we definitely have to break, but Gene, that was awesome. I'm pretty sure you were flying today, so thanks for carving out some time. I know I'll see you soon. Outstanding addition to CBS. Gene Steratore has been 5-star from day one. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You're the best, Tiki. Talk to you soon.
Be good, Gene.
Take care, man.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.